Okay, now it's being recorded forever.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, as we were talking about the China time, I had a whole month there, and I had my own, you know, as a father of four, mm-hmm. and living in a house with a six-month-old puppy these days, and a couple of the kids out of the house, and a couple still in, and my wife who, you know, commandeers all of that, to be suddenly in a foreign country where I can't even understand the television, and had trouble FaceTiming anyone, to have my own hotel room that I could just shut the door, you know, and one of the funny images, you know, this is a hotel that was a pretty upscale hotel. It was mm-hmm. a Western type hotel, and I would say quite nice. And every night or every day, I would hear a little sound at my door, like a little, like I'd be like, "Is someone knocking?" "No, no one's knocking." And then the next morning, I would leave in a flurry because I was running off to this school, the camp that I was teaching at, and it would rain down business cards from prostitutes. It would just rain down, and I'm like. So I call the woman that booked the thing. She's back here in America. And I'm like, "Yushi, is like this normal, or am I some sort of a seedy hotel or what?" She's like, "Oh, no, that's in all the hotels. You're in a great hotel." So it just was. It was just the way, you know, it's just like, wow. That was just an image that stuck with me.
So that little noise was...
That little noise was somebody sneaking by. I don't know, some you know, advertiser of some kind.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's a different culture.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
That's for sure.
And apparently the hotel is just fine with that because it happens all day or all night or whatever. But we're going to go back. I'm hoping to take Carrie, and I'm hoping to take Esther, and I'm hoping to take Svea in July. And we're going to go for 2 or 3 weeks, it looks like, and do much the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a treat to be able to process these things so that when I go to the restaurant... So I don't want to give the food a bad name because the food was awesome. 98% of the food was so good. And every once in a while, though, there's this cultural difference. Like, we had these boiling pots of broth at our table, and then you go pick out things from a buffet line. There was a hog's brain, a perfect biological specimen of the brain. You can just toss that into your soup, apparently, and cook it and lunch it, you know?
I had one last night.
I thought you looked a little smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Hard not to, yeah.
But that things like that, you know, it's just like, oh, this is a different place.
Yeah, for sure.
But I look forward to hopefully sharing that with my family. And I'm also on a mission to get to Tibet somehow. I met some people from Tibet, and it was really taken with the spirit of who they were. And so if anyone has any connection to how to get to Tibet, because it's hard. You know, it's kind of a closed off area in China.
Here's the other, you wanted me to remind you to tell my friend Jay March, Japeth March,
yes.
about your show in Brooklyn, because mm-hmm. he's there.
Yeah, we're going to do a house concert there. So if you're interested, write me on Facebook or write Locke and he'll send it to me.
Yeah.
And I'll get you the info. We'd love to see you there. There are going to be a couple of great poets that night to start things off. Fran Quinn is actually in town doing a poetry workshop that he teaches and he's going to read.
Great.
We rarely get to hear Fran Quinn poems and they're great. And then Myra Shapiro, who's a New Yorker.
Wow.
Just a wonderful human being and a wonderful poet. So we're going to have a blast.
You have two great ones showing up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk a little bit about my singing is one of the shelves that I love to talk about. The other shelf is nature. My sister is a PhD in psychology. She just earned that a couple years ago now. And she called me up the other day and she's like, "Tim, there's this book out. I was just at the Aspen Ideas, blah, 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 whatever it is. And there's this guy that wrote a book or a woman that wrote a book called The Nature Fix." And this is a psychologist, and this is like in Japan and Korea, that they have these loops now, like that they've designed a certain amount of time out in the woods alone. And they prescribe it, like a doctor would prescribe medication they prescribe a walk in the woods. And again, notable, loss of depression, for example, and the immune system, and it affects so much. I mean, we all know this when we go for a walk, we can feel it, but it's nice to also hear the other side of it, the scientific side of it that's coming out now. And, I was lucky. I grew up in the sort of swampy woods of Minnesota at a time when, you remember this time, you just say goodbye to your mom and dad in the morning, and you might hop on your bike and you don't really know which house you're going to stop at, but you just bike around and you might come back for lunch or maybe dinner. We didn't worry about each other that much. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have tracker devices on our children. And I don't know if that's better or worse, but I just know that it was, as a child, it was a great sense of freedom to be able to just ramble. And we spent a lot of time in the woods. I think I got my 10,000 hours in the woods early on. And I feel really lucky about that. I'm a child of nature, and I love going out whenever we can. And so when my kid, my oldest child, our oldest child, who we named Zebulon Wilder, he is now 26. He's in Omaha, Nebraska, married to a wonderful woman. And he and I would go night walking in Wisconsin. And that meant that we would be at the cabin. And when it really got dark out and the stars were starting to really shine, he would put on his, if it was winter, we'd put on all of our warm clothing, and we would go out walking in the nighttime. Hey, want to go night walking? Yeah, let's go night walking. And we did it a lot. And we just wander through the woods. And I think it's so important for us to remember and to reclaim that space as safe space and beautiful space and a place for inspiration. And it was just like a year later that my sister's kids were there and his older cousin was there, wonderful guy named Shepherd. And I remember he was about 10 or 12. He was a little bit older than Zeb. And we got about 10 steps in and he got really scared. And he didn't want to go any further. And I think that we're taught that by movies, right? You're pretty sure that some sort of machete is going to swing out and one of you is going to lose a head pretty soon if you're in the woods these days. Or an animal of some half human, half animal is going to come. So this song is written about the color blue, twilight color blue. And I just tried to think of different times when that color was in the atmosphere. And it ended up being a song about my son Zeb and my relationship with Carrie there in the middle, and then before that, my relationship with my dad. We used to always go, and we still go up to Grand Marais. Grand Marais, Minnesota. It's on the north shore of Lake Superior, a beautiful town. When I was a kid, we'd go there, and they have, I think, the best skipping stones in the whole world up there. They're smooth and flat, every single last one of them. So that's where the song ends up. I like walking in the woods. I like walking. My son's name is Zebulun, and he likes walking in the woods. And I like looking at the stars. We like looking at the stars. Once our eyes adjust to this light so blue. For no reason we woke up before the sun rose one day. And as we lay awake, they're talking. I saw the beauty in her face. Once I bought a cobalt vase for the one I love. Through the stems, through the water, there moved a light so blue. And these cedars, they smell like a goddess. And these waves, they haunt my melody. They say the ice picks them up from the bottom and drops them on the beach. When I was young, well, I threw plenty out there as far as I could reach. And every once my dad would hand me one, and he would smile, and I'd unload without thinking about that stone sinking into the light so blue. I like walking, walking in the woods. I like walking in the woods. And my son's name is Zebulun, and he likes walking.
Beautiful song.
It's kind of a wandering
song. I don't remember
song.
That one, but
yeah, that's on the record. It's an older song, and I sure love playing it. It has a certain spirit about it that I like.
One thing I noticed just while you were playing, when you sing over in that direction, it's much better when you orient your voice towards.
I turned away when I was going to sing loud, but I don't need to do that. I bet.
I think it's, I'm watching the meters here, so
I'll let it fly. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let it fly then. Well, I wonder, you know, I think my mom and dad are listening, which is great. They, I want to say hi to my mom and dad, Sonny and Bill Franzig. That was with them that I was able to discover so much of the natural world out back. We would build rafts, my friend and I. We think they were going to float and they wouldn't. You know, that's how you figure out the laws of physics, I guess. There were culverts that, you know, the creek is a foot or two wide going through. So then as a kid, you bend your head down and you go walking on that corrugated steel, like down the middle of the culvert, underneath the roads, and find all the crayfish are out. Well, as long as we're talking about nature here, I want to sing a song that's not quite done, but it's singable.
Is this another first?
This is another first.
Wow.
It is another first.
Yeah.
This is kind of a nice context to be able to share some of these things that are in motion right now. This is I sang a song earlier. The first, or I read a poem by Tony Hoagland earlier. Tony Hoagland, this great poet down in Santa Fe, and every once in a while he'll send me an email that says, "Tim, I think," or he uses snail mail a lot actually, and I think this poem might make a good song. And he sends it, and it's somebody else's poem usually, but he just is such a knowledgeable encyclopedia of so much poetry and a wonderful critical voice in the world. I'm just so glad that he's here. And he sent this one, and it's by a poet named W.S. Merwin, and the name of the poem is Trees. And I think parts of it are working. Putting a poem to music is tricky. I was always really wanting to honor every single word and every little comma just to honor the poet. And then Tony said to me after I sent it to him, and he said he liked it in its first primordial form. And then he said, like, but you just do whatever you want with it. Mess it up, add words, take some out. It's okay. Just get the spirit of the poem, you know. Oh, I was like, that was great. This is kind of an expert talent giving me permission. So it started to morph a little bit since then. So this is a first, so bear with me here. But I sing it a lot. And I gotta... that I will miss most from the earth. Miss most from the earth.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Boy, a lot of new songs.
Yeah, kind of nice.
I like that.
That one, Brian and Madeline were helping me with some of the phrasing. So I think we'll have a good go at the Great Mother this year. The three of us will sing that, I think.
Well, and there's another combination. I want to get you Fendrick and Peck in
here.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah. We'll get the whole conference, and that wouldn't be too hard. Listen, I have to do one of the more mundane things. I was so really interested in what you were saying in the first hour. I forgot to thank my many partners in music.
You do that, and I'm going to go pee.
Okay, then.
With the harmonica brace on.
Yeah, well, don't take that off. God's sakes. And I'm going to thank my many partners in music. I'm going to start by thanking Frankie Lehman, the main tax dude from Belfast, Maine. And I think there's a lot of people listening to the show tonight who don't always listen. And for you people, it may be important for you to know that Frankie Lehman is also a cannabis tax specialist in high demand here in the state of Maine. And huge thanks to the man they call Dusty, who lives in Tofino, British Columbia. We have an international group of friends here supporting the show. Huge thanks to Paul Chartrand of Chartrand Imports, an importer and wholesaler of organic wine since 1985 in Rockland, Maine, with wines available nationwide at fine food and wine shops. Great thanks to Mike Lubinsky of Bamboozle Productions, bringing you quality live recordings since 2007 and urging you to support live music and independent community radio stations like WRFR. Bamboozle Productions, because the music and the sound matter. Unusual and complete thanks to the Eppin, New Hampshire cabal of Carol, Clarky, Roland, Tenzig, Plushy, Smokey, Slurry, and Splash, with full-fledged cabalist and concierge Susan A. Each of these folks, both individually and collectively, are currently prudently planning annual April adventures in Austin, which I think is going to be a safe place to go again. And complete thanks to Uncle Tom's Guided Adventures, which offers guided backpacking adventures. Check out Uncle Tom's Guided Adventures online for the latest schedule. And as always, huge thanks to my longtime friend and partner in music, Tom Jamrock, for putting that one together. Go buy his book, In the Path of Young Bulls. It's his story of his through hike on the Continental Divide Trail a few years ago. It's an incredible book. So we're back here with Tim Franzik, and
So I just want to say again that if you want to check out kind of what I'm doing, brothertimothy.net. And the word brother, not a religious term, but because I sang with my brother for so long and then started to really want to sing with everybody in the room, that I just kind of consider everybody a sibling at this point.
So is that how people could get your CDs?
If you want to get the CD, if you go to the bottom of the homepage there, you'll see my email address and my my phone number, and you're welcome to text me or to send me an email, and I'll give you an address to send a check, and we'll do it.
And is your current schedule there?
Yeah, current schedule is there. Yep,
good.
I have a few more stops. I'm going to go down to Block Island tomorrow, and then the next day I'm up in Brooklyn on Saturday. I should say Brooklyn, New York for that thing, and then I'm heading back off to Ann Arbor, Michigan on the way home. So,
okay.
But it's been a great run, and I hope to come back in 6 months or so. I just love, it's really nice if the drives aren't too long in between, like I've had, to be able to sing and meet people along the way.
Well, you're always welcome on this show.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll come back. Slack.
So.
Feedback. When I can hear things on the headphones that maybe you're not hearing them.
No, what is it?
It's like some kind of feedback. I can't figure
it
out.
Is it? Could it be with my phone?
Maybe. Hold it. Hold let it
me,
closer.
Let me. Sometimes it goes. Z-z-z-z-z-z.
No.
Okay. Well, right now I see that Carrie sent a note that says Svea is listening, and I really wanted to say to my 11-year-old daughter, who is, it's her birthday today. She was a child born on the equinox in the spring here. And I want to say happy birthday to Svea. And I'm so proud of you, and I wish I was there with you today. But you're 11 now, and that's pretty darn big. You're getting tall. She grew like a weed over this last year. I remember when she was first born and she was kind of cruising around in the house, you know, crawling around more or less. I think Bob Dylan talked about his kids. He called them floor birds.
And so I never heard that before.
I picked up on that.
And I like that.
Here's
like
a little that. Song that I made up for Svea back then. I can't remember all of it right now, but I wanted to sing part of it. And this is a happy birthday for Svea. My little floor bird, lovely as can be. She's my little floor bird, Svea Marie. She wakes up in the morning and flaps her little wings, and while the sun is rising, she begins to sing. She's my little floor bird, lovely as can be. She's my little floor bird, Svea Marie. Her skin is soft as clouds, her eyes are like the sky. She's sitting at the window, someday she'll fly. She, my little floor bird, lovely as can be. She's my little floor bird, Svea Marie. Svea Marie. Happy birthday, Svea. That's that little song.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I love the floor bird.
The floor bird. Isn't that a great line?
Hey. There's a Bob Dylan piece of trivia I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it's true. Someone told me that.
It's true. Maybe as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I like it. Floor bird. That's a beautiful song. Sing for your daughter. So yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Svea Marie. So as long as we're talking about nature, let's continue that. And if you're a person that knows this song, I was able to sing this morning in Portland in a old folks home, and they brightened up during this one and started singing. It's an old song, and it's kind of a summer song, an early summer song, and here we are with a snowstorm pressing down, so we'll use it as a reminder, a kind of a medicine to hold against the storm, to call forward the time in our minds where the trees are blooming. Oh, the summer time has come, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain thyme all around the blooming.
Mother, will you go, lassie, go? And I will build my love a bower by yon clear crystal fountain, and around it I will pile all the flowers of the mountain. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And my love, if I were gone, you could surely find another where the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go, lassie, go?
We call now to nature, the mother of all, heavenly goddess of wealth, who gives her breasts to all, the narrator, the giver of light, the one who is never tamed, stronger than the strongest, the one who never dies. Firstborn, born of the night, carrier of light, strong holder back, O Holy One, sunny and immense, father of yourself, but without father. Rose-like, with braids of flower in your hair, open and wise, giver of breath, she who gets things done. Sweet to the large-hearted, bitter to the small, provider of food and from river and stream, clear water to drink. You are the mother, nurturer, and nurse, moving in circles, rough like the tides, changer of shores, deep with design. Having no fear, never born nor dying, Holy Mother, in this season, we pray you lead us into peace and to health and to common good. You fiery mother, you mother of air, whose footprints swirl in the stillness, who walk in the beauty under star-flooded skies and farther out, in the drum of deep thunder.
So, was that yours?
No, this is an old Orphic hymn to nature. This is 1,000 or more years old, I think, of Greek origin. They would write these hymns to aspects of the world and gods and goddesses. And this is one that was updated recently by Martin Shaw and Tony Hoagland. Mm-hmm. Robert Bly put it in a book maybe 20 years ago. That was a bit of a different form, a little older kind of version. So I heard Tony read that this last year, and I was really taken with it. And it's just a beautiful invocation of the feminine in nature. Yeah. So let's see, another song. Let's see here. Now, how are we doing on time? Let me just get
a few. Well, we're going to have to finish at about 5:00 to make... Give the next person time.
Last time we ran over a little and we got the little bit of the business.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get the business. I get enough of the business.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
So let's see here then. Let's see what we got. Well... Let's do a...
Do you do requests?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe, if I remember it.
What's the... I forget the name of the song, but When the Walls Came Down?
Oh, yeah. The Chains Came...
Everybody's Chains.
Yeah, sure.
I love that one.
That'd be fun.
I'm sorry I didn't get the word. I had the spirit right.
You got the spirit right. Walls are fine metaphor also. So this is a song that, I love stories. I'm a storyteller myself, and I really am moved by and changed by stories. And the first stories that I heard were church stories, were gospel stories, and those went very deeply into the deepest part of who I am. So I still think in those metaphors a lot, and I've told a hundreds, 200, 300 stories out of other cultures, I'm sure, over the years. But these stay with me as my stories of origin, really. So this one is Paul and Silas. You know, this is a great story in and of itself. So they were able, you know, the way they interpreted things back then, and maybe it's still this way, I don't know, but it feels like this is back then. They came into a town. And there was some sort of somebody that could tell fortunes. They had some mystical power. And they decided that this wasn't good. And so they cast a demon out of this person. And then this person that fortune teller was making a lot of money for somebody in the town, some wealthy person. And that person got pissed and went and talked to the police or whatever. And they went and threw Paul and Silas in jail because they had changed the economics, I guess, of the situation. So they were thrown in jail. And they're sitting there with chains on, and they were worried about them because they were kind of mystics if they could do this kind of thing. So they chained them up and they locked their doors. And when I read that story a while back, there was a line that caught my eye, and it was that the crazy thing that happens with the guards outside the door and everything was that they're singing and they're praying, and it's midnight there in the jail cell. I imagine there are many more in the jail down the hallway there. And all of a sudden the earthquake comes and the earth begins to shake and their chains just fall right off and the door swings open. But it says that everybody's chains came off and all the prison doors swung open. So there's something in that when this spirit of freedom moved through, that it frees everybody up, even if just two of them invoke it. So I thought that was worthwhile to write a song about that. And then the second verse is having to do with my hero, Dr. King, who took my childhood religion. Most of the orientation that I experienced in my childhood religion with Christianity was about the afterlife. That was most of the talk. That was most of the reason and motive. So it was a little bit floaty. And then when I heard King talk, he was talking about this life, here, now, making it a better place by using those gospel stories. And it's interesting in the Taylor Branch book, Parting the Waters, I think it's called, as a historian, most of the black ministers back in the 50s and 60s were preaching about using Jesus' teachings to before the cross, before his death, talking about social justice issues and empowering every single person, because that's a very relevant, that was what he was talking about. And most of the white ministers back then were talking about the afterlife, so saving your soul and maybe not changing the way things were here so much. Mm-hmm. Interesting division, theological division. And so it was King that, you know, I'm a blue-eyed white guy of privilege, so I can't relate personally to the African-American struggle. And it's amazing how King navigated those waters, and I just stand in amazement but from a distance. But what I do relate with him very personally is around how he used the teachings that I was given as a kid so powerfully and fiercely to empower all people and to bring right to the doorstep what he called the conscience, that the religion, the churches were the conscience of our country, and they weren't subject to the government, but they were actually should be listened to by the government. And so brought it right to the doorstep there, and was very I love listening to those talks, his sermons and his talks. And anyway, so I talk about him in the second verse. I wanted to say that about why I sing about King, because it's not exactly clear if I just start invoking him and when I'm who I am. So this is Everybody's Chains Came Off, and this is a little bit tricky in this context because it's a call and response. So I'm gonna sing the line, and then I'm gonna run over somewhere else and sing it, so it sounds like there are two of us, and you should sing it too, so that there are two of us. Here we go. This is the last song now. Sing with me at home. It goes like this.
We sang out loud at midnight.
Sing it.
We sang out loud at midnight. We prayed out loud from our prison. Everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. Everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open. We marched from Selma to Montgomery. We marched from Selma to Montgomery. Down our lives in Memphis. We laid down our lives in Memphis, yeah. And everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors are swung open. Everybody's chains came off. All the prison doors swung open.
All right, we get to do a little tour here through my own psyche, the prison in my psyche.
Even the shy one in the corner, even the mean one in the dark, even the one twisted with hatred, even the ones with angry marks, even the ones who broke the rules, even the crazy one with hair, even the wealthy and the thieves and the liars, even the ones that don't seem to care. Well, to be free again, feels so good 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 to be free again, oh, feels so good to be free again, feels so good to be free again. Well, everybody's chains came off, all the prison doors are swung open. Everybody's chains came off. to be free again.
I love that one.
Yeah.
I was even...
I think I heard something.
I know. I didn't want to ruin the song is the best way I can say it, but...
Thanks for doing this show. It's a great show. When I tune in all that I can just to hear your voice and your great taste in music. And
well, thank you for coming. I really enjoyed listening to you, Tim. And I want to say that for me anyway, music is kind of what gets me by.
Yeah.
And to hear you talk and sing these songs gives me more hope than I did when I came in here.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
I need that.
Well, we need each other.
I think we all do.
That's where the hope is.
Really, I hope you'll come back soon.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'll see you soon,
yeah.
God willing.
Yeah.
The Great Mother Conference. And I don't know. I hope more people listen to your music.
Thank you, Locke.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help.
So I think we really don't have much more time, so mm-hmm. I think we'll just say good night.
Good night.
And we'll let the station music segue in.
Yeah.
And
we'll get tangled up in these molasses cookies here.
Oh, we got something big to look forward to. And I'll be back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Please tune in then. And please stay tuned for Progressions at 9 o'clock with Nick Baum. Have a good week and take care.
Bye-bye.